listening to Pro Booth Talk, photo booth insight, tips, and banter recorded by boothers for boothers. Brought to you by ProBoothTalk.com.
Welcome to Pro Booth Talk.
Thanks. Hi, Jason.
You're totally right. I shouldn't have told you when we started. You froze there for a minute.
You caught me. You caught me off guard.
We could take two. I need a clapboard.
No, I love it. That was very sultry introduction. You caught me off guard. I was like, whoa, Jason.
That's my podcast voice. Not really.
Is it? I have a customer service voice
no.
too.
No.
It's
just been a minute that it had a kind of weird start for all of us.
No, I love it. I love it.
So that's where we're at. So anyways, here we are, Pro Booth Talk. It's been a while, so we want to do a new intro. And of course, we have a new co-host joining the show. So she needs a proper introduction as well. So let's start with that, Lap. Tell us about yourself.
Hey guys. So my name is Lap. I'm with LX Pits. I'm based out of Los Angeles, and I've been doing this, I want to say like 11, 12, 13 years. I remember going to my first PBX. It was the second PBX a few years back, and man, it's been a journey. We do photo booths, we do selfie booths, photography studios. We do a little bit of everything.
Cool. That's the same for me. I guess it's changed a bit since I was last on here, but I have a company in Las Vegas, Smash Booth. We have been doing photo booths for just over 10 years, and we also do a little bit of everything, kind of a little bit of marketing events, a lot of weddings, and everything else above. Anyone new to the podcast or old to the podcast, we started in, I believe, 2015. With a gentleman named Tim, who didn't last very long. He left town and wasn't able to continue. I was taken over by Clay as my new co-host. Clay Moore, I think a few people will know him. He did it with me for quite a while until some personal reasons he had to step away as well. And then I also decided to just hang it up for a while until I had a late night conversation with Lap, and we decided to jump back in full force and see where this goes.
Yes.
As the first episode back, we just came off the hills of PBX, and one of the first questions most people asked myself, I assume Lap as well, upon meeting is what equipment we use. So we decided to jump right into that and answer that question first. So I think we could maybe break this down by types first, maybe like DSLR booths and software. What are you using for DSLR booths and software primarily? I mean, obviously we use whatever software fits the goal that we're trying to achieve, but I'd say like, what's your primary software?
The primary software is not a secret. DSLR, Remote Pro. I recently moved into Breeze Booth iPad, but DSLR Remote is my go-to. I don't think that's a secret, though. I've been using that for a few years.
And what about kiosk?
Kiosk, I use whatever. Honestly, my go-to Minboost, our fleet is all Minboost. We have older machines from when I first started, because back when I was more DIY, long time ago when I was a budget provider, I always thought just go with whatever I can get my hands on, whatever was affordable. So we have ATAs. We have recently we started doing iPad selfie booths. That took me a while to really embrace, because I wasn't an early adopter. So we have, what is it, Mobi booth, iPad Mobi. Those are the two that we primarily use right now for most of our events. Minboost and Mobi Auras.
For DSLR, I guess, and so you're using the Auras for iPads specifically?
Yeah.
Okay.
strictly.
Since you moved on to iPad-based kiosks, what software are you using for iPads?
I use Breeze Booth iPad, and I also use SnapPic. Those are the two primary software I use for iPad.
I could have guessed those answers. So primarily we've used ATA Marquees and ATA Lumias for a number of years. We recently started changing our fleet slowly to the Minboosts as well, primarily from pressure and being bullied by my peers. That's where we're at. about my first one at PBX, and then bought a second one just a few days after PBX. So we've got two of those. And
we're steady. You got two now. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah, I bought one of Billy's.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you said ATA. I think I have a Lumia when Minbooth stopped production for like just a short few maybe like a year or so. They're great, you know. Just I love Minbooth for being more streamlined. You'll learn to love it. I mean, it's oh, amazing. Yeah, all the small things that yes, just everything fitting into one case, very portable for travel. Even though when I bought my first one, I'm not gonna lie, I cried because it's not the cheapest kiosk out there. It's not, but through the years with my growth, which I didn't even anticipate the growth, I'm so thankful that I invested in a Minbooth because there's things, little quirks and little things that you don't think about until the day you need it. And when you do need it is when you're very thankful. I mean, I remember my first travel gig. I was just thinking, oh my goodness, I don't want something over 100 pounds. And the Minbooth, I think it's like 75 pounds, Jason? Have you measured it? It's like 75, 70?
I don't know, but I've traveled with the Lumia, which I believe is 65, if I'm not mistaken. And I would think the Minbooth is probably right around that, if not a little bit less. But
yeah, yeah.
As far as software, primarily I'm using Darkroom Booth with my DSLR kiosks. And for iOS or iPads, I'm using Snappic as well. Although I did see everything that was happening with Breeze at PBX, and I'm excited to dive into that. I was excited then, and I haven't had the chance to yet, but I'm still looking forward. I spent a lot of time on their Facebook group just going through past samples and discussions, and I'm excited about what they're doing.
So, yeah, super powerful. It just takes – I love Breeze iPad, BB iPad. You'll hear me say BB iPad because it's such a long name, but I love it. It just – there is some time that you have to dedicate to like the learning curve.
I'm focusing on the four things that most people I think in the industry are doing, DSLR, iPad 360, and roamers. So
roamers, yeah.
Talk 360, what you're using for software. And
well, when I first took on 360, this was a number of years back. Deezen. Is that how you pronounce it, Jason? Deezen?
That's your guess is as good as mine.
Hardware. that's what I was using a few years back. They had a nice small platform. I think it's like 32 inches. Their software is amazing, syncs with music. I loved it. Of course, every software pros and cons, but when I saw the Orca a few years, maybe 3 years ago, I fell in love with it. Orca software. We use Snappic for with Orca. We use Snappic for most of our video software, like video deliveries. Yeah. Most of them. Yeah.
And I'm just going to echo your answer, except for the your beginning. I started with OrcaView. I mean, I actually start with an off-brand because I wasn't sure if the 360 thing was going to be a quick fad. So I just bought a cheap used one from somebody. And very quickly, I got busy enough that I just bought a couple OrcaViews. And also Snappic is what we use. And as well, for pretty much anything video related that we do is Snappic. So that's an easy answer.
Snappic makes a lot of things very, very streamlined. I mean, very simple, just out of the box.
It can be very simple or very complex, depending on where you're at. And that's what I really like about it. Like, you can get really deep and very complex if you want to go there and if you have the skill set to go there. But if you don't and you don't need to, then it's also very, very user-friendly and easy to set up.
Yeah, that's very true. We've seen some pretty advanced stuff from folks, especially like on the video side.
So wrap up photo booths with roamers. I personally, again, I'm using Snappic, and we use the Danny Max roamers. We love them. We just upgraded them to his newest model that have the USB-C connectors. I'm not sure what they're called specifically. They're not the DSLR versions, but the newest versions of the roamer that he has.
What about that roamer? Do you like? What are the features
I like
that make it a little bit
software
different?
Software that he has. That syncs up so that you can easily control all the lights. And other roamers may have that. I don't know. Back before I switched to Danny Max's, nobody else had one. It also connects with Snappic very easily. So when there's a countdown on Snapik, the white light is gradually getting brighter instead of just blinding people the entire time, and then it automatically goes down to your text entry, low light, multicolor, whatever you've got set up for text entry. So I like that. And then I really like that it's got a USB-C direct connector, because that's just the best thing that's happened to the iPad, and I'm glad that Danny's taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I agree. For roamers, I was, like I said, iPads, roamers, I was the opposite of most people. I was really resistant towards it. They were introduced 6 years ago, 5 years ago, and I was always team DSLR. I'm never going that direction. But with the roamer, I did not put thought. I'm not even gonna lie. I did not put thought into which roamer I was purchasing. I just needed one the very next day, and I know where to get it the very next day. I got a ATA who's right down the street from me. Just ran over there, picked one up for Marlin. And then when we had a second roamer, two dual roamers running at the same time, just picked up the same thing. It's always good to have two of the same exact hardware, so that way that your team has some systems in place with that. So I don't have any light syncing. We strictly use just the white.
Okay. Yeah, and we did that for a long time until Danny released that software, and we do use lights when it makes sense now. And I just realized that I skipped over what I'm using for iOS kiosks, which I personally use the Pearl by Pickbox. And I agree with you, our entire fleet are Pearls, and for the same reason, we just want to train our staff on one kiosk. That's why we've always had Lumia and Marquees, because they're essentially the exact same kiosk. They're assembled the same way. The Lumia is just a little bit larger, but otherwise they're the same. So we're going to start training them on the men booth now, and hopefully completely switch over at some point. But we try to have all roamers the same, all 360s the same, for the matter of just not only training wise, but having replacement parts. So you only have replacement parts for one type of kiosk and things like that.
Yeah, not just replacement parts, but just if any situation comes up where you need backup components or a full-on backup unit, you never know what happens. It's just good to have exactly the same hardware, printers, cameras. We try to keep everything the same. Although the cameras, our cameras are all over the place right now.
Cameras, fives, yeah, I guess M50, that's a good topic. M6. I didn't have cameras on my list, but maybe we should discuss that real quick. I use T6s in all my current Windows-based DSLR booths. I do have a couple things that I'm running Mac-based or iOS-based, and I'm using the M50 for those, as well as anything iOS-based, as well as the 360 and whatnot. Are you in the same area there?
Well, I was using T6, Canon T6 on a lot of my booths until, 2 years ago. I decided to just switch everything over. It just made more sense. We don't have dedicated cameras to just our Surface Pro booths or to our iPad booths. A lot of the equipment gets mixed around just because, we do a lot of different types of events with different deliveries. So I just moved everything over to M50, M6. Once I realized the M6 had, there's something different in the M6. I can't even explain it. There's some depth that I see in the M6 that I don't see in the M50 when shooting video. I don't have the technical terms for it. I just know that there's more depth. It looks more three-dimensional to me. So I try to switch over to M6 for 360. 360 strictly, specifically for M6. But we were having issues with, and this is my experience. I know I've talked to a lot of other people about this. This is my own experience with the M6. I was having issues with the unit overheating. And I've had two cameras that were M6, and I pulled them from 360 altogether. We don't even run them on 360, although the video just, I don't know how to describe it, Jason. And I know it's just us as industry professionals, we pay attention to the difference. So I'm sure clients don't look at M50 footage and M6 footage and say, no, that looks totally different, but I see the difference, and it bothers me that I can't shoot with the M6, because I definitely see just more dimension. You see more separation, background separation from people. Videos pop out to me more. But my M6, when I was using them live at events, they were overheating at 3 hours, to the dot, no matter how much videos I was shooting. It's weird because other people don't have that experience.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying to think of anything else that people ask me about. I guess the biggest other thing was CRM. So for our CRM, I don't know if I would recommend it or not. It works well for us. We're using 17 Hats. We've always used 17 Hats. We were like in their first like 500 users or something like that. So we're locked into a really great really great price.
Yeah.
And plus it would be so, so hard for us to move at this point and export all our past clients and workflows and templates. So we're pretty much lifers with 17 Hats. But that's us.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm on Tabe. I've been on that around the same time 17 Hats came out. I don't have anything to say about CRMs. I wish I utilized them more. I wish I had systems in place that automated everything. That's something that I personally need help with, because I'm terrible with the whole CRM. Like, I have that tool available. I'm sure the CRM Tavi, I'm sure it does amazing things. I just haven't jumped into that yet.
Okay. Well, that's what you use at least. So if someone asks, they've got an answer.
I think with CRMs, you can't, it's hard. Once you jump in, it's hard to move your systems over. Even if you're, you know, even if you're like me and you don't have a lot of automation in there, I just can't even imagine switching over. We should probably remove that part. I don't think CRMs are gonna like me.
It's good information though, because a lot of people, I mean, and there's probably a market there for people to set CRMs up for people, because it is a lot of work. Like, you've got to set aside like 2 days, and you've got to like sketch it out on a whiteboard or a piece of paper and try and figure out how that's all going to work out before you even dive into starting to create those workflows inside the CRM, because it is complex. But once it's in place, it's really beneficial, not only for streamlining.
Yeah,
make sure life easier. It streamlines, it saves time, but also when you start to build a team, there's a lot of accountability and making sure that everybody's doing the same thing and is on the same page and no one's receiving the same email twice. And that's where it's been really valuable for me, because I do have a couple different people doing sales, and it makes it much more easy for us to keep organized.
Yeah. I know in Tave, the Tave Facebook group, there's people who actually you can hire to, you know, set it up, automate everything. I'm terrible. I just haven't done that. You know, a lot of this stuff, I'm not like you, Jason, with like a team that runs the backend. And we've talked about this before. Like, I mostly do most of my own backend, and then I have a team that actually runs the event. So I really need to, I'm sure there's a lot of people in my same position where, you know, you have to get on it with the systems and stuff. It's just, we wear so many hats.
It's true. And we're both unique in that way. And it's good because we can offer that different perspective. I think you're more similar to most of the larger photo booth companies. I think a lot of them do kind of work all the back end stuff and just have hosts and have sometimes maybe just one person that's their assistant. And I have taken a completely different route for most people and have kind of trained people for almost every aspect of what we're doing. And I try to not do as much. I'm very, very hands off. I haven't worked an event. People ask if we had a booth at CES this year, and I honestly have no idea. It's a shortcoming. I should probably be more involved and know where we're at. But I mean, I've got a good team that takes care of all of that, and I kind of just focus on innovation and back end stuff. So.
Your team's amazing, Jason. Your team's amazing. I want that kind of business model. I need to move that direction. But right now, I just have team members live, and they're great. You know, I just am the one doing all the back end. I want your business model, Jason, where I don't know what events we're running.
It could be nice. It makes vacationing a lot easier. I went 7 years without taking a vacation. So this year, we talked about that. Wife's anniversary, we went on a Mediterranean cruise for like 16 days or something, and I pretty much had
to do
about an hour per week email with my team, and that was it. So it was really great.
Yeah, see, I can't do that the way I run my business. I want to move your direction. I'm hoping through this podcast eventually I'll be over there with you on your side.
Well, that's the hope.
It's funny, since like, you know, when people reach out to me, they're like, you know, how do you do the things that you do? And I look at you, Jason, and I'm just like, I know how Jason does it. I have no idea how I
you know, have grown my business, like, because I don't have this, I like a lot of people, like, I didn't go into this thinking this is going to be a full-on business. So I, you know, don't have the systems that you have, and I should.
My brain is just kind of built in a very system and analytical manner. Like when we discussed doing this together and I sent you like 6 pages of information,
yes,
and goals and plans. And that's just how my head works.
And that's awesome. And I'm not like that, because I'm just like, okay, cool, let's do it.
And I think a balanced team has both of those.
Yeah.
So went over DSLR booths. We went over 360s. We went over iPads. That's three, right?
And roamers.
DSLR.
Covered all four that I thought that most people use. If there's any others that you can think of, we can certainly touch on those as well. I mean, obviously, there's everything from Mosaics and Sketchbots and the robots that were running around PBX and whatnot, but I think the majority of people aren't doing all those things. I, you know, if someone is wondering what we use for any of those, they can reach out. I don't think either of us are doing Sketchbots or robots.
I was debating it. But you know what? I think photography, roaming photography, studio photography, I think that's, a lot of people are getting on board with that, especially with Spot My Photos. But, you know, we've been doing photography studios for a while. So that's something I think some people might wonder. I don't know if that comes up with you at all.
It does quite a bit. So I've talked to a lot of different boothers during PBX about that specifically. And I've always kind of shied away from that because in my position really is I can train someone to set up a photo booth and run it in a few hours. You know, of course they'll need on-site training and continued support, but just a few hours, and it would take months to years to train a photographer, and I don't want to. I haven't hard enough time finding great hosts as it is, to add the caveat on that you need to also be a photographer would really slow down my hiring, and I don't want to have to hire photographers. So we have moved away from the roaming photographer aspect. I know there's a lot of money and opportunity there. Some people are just complementing that with like a DSLR roamer. And we've had some events where we've had to do that. And we've white labeled with roaming around with DSLRs as well, just to satisfy our white label clients. But it's something that ourselves, we don't specifically offer that. But on the subject of Spot My Photo, I don't know if you stop over at Curator's booth during PBX, but they have a similar software that they just released.
Do they?
That works the same as Spot My Photo, and it James was showing it to me. It looks really awesome. Yeah.
Have you put it through a test run yet?
I haven't used it other than just James' demo, but it's funny because I was mentioning to him, like, it's so crazy that there's some areas in our industry that have so much competition and so much copycat going on, and some that have absolutely none. And one of those has always been Spot My Photo. He's always just been a solo pioneer. I don't know if he's got that whole thing trademarked or what, but no one's ever competed with him. And I mentioned that to James, and he's like, let me show you something. And they're just launching. And I think it's just a portion of Curator. I don't think it's a new software. I think it's just something that you turn on Curator. And it's the same. It works pretty much the same thing. He roams around with a DSLR with an iPhone attached to it. He takes people's photos, punches in their phone number, and then any photo they take after that night, or if they're caught in the background, that automatically creates a personalized gallery.
What? And sends it over stuff. Wow. Really? Okay. Yeah, that is neat. I'll have to explore that. I didn't know Curator had that.
Yeah.
It's good to see that. It's good to see, you know, more options available. It's, you know me, I love testing software, hardware, you know, just to see what our limits are.
Yeah, and any competition in our industry is great for us. Obviously, it spurs innovation and stops people from charging more than they should charge.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. I'll have to check out Curator. I did not know. Does he have it? Is he advertising that he had this available right now, or?
I don't know if it's live or if it was kind of in beta when he showed it to me.
We
have to reach out to James and see if he wants to chat more about that. Maybe we'll bring him onto the podcast here and have him explain this news.
To my knowledge, his new tech that he has. Yeah, because I only knew Spot My Photos, and you know, they literally had like the market for that, you know. I mean, SnapTick has AI face recognition. Have you used it?
I have. And I liked it. It's very different from Spot My Photo. But so I had a showcase event here in Vegas where I invited all the different planners and whatnot in town, and I put together several different booths, and I didn't want everyone to spend the entire night punching in their phone number or email address because we had like 12 different activations set up. So basically I sent out a QR beforehand and had everyone scan their photos and or their face and set up their own personal gallery. And that way, when they came, any kiosk they went to, and we utilize, so if you're using like a DSLR booth and using Darkroom, you could use a Dropbox or something. And they have, I can't remember SnapTick's program, but there's something to upload photos and add it to a specific gallery. So all those photos from Darkroom went into their SnapTick gallery as well. And it
SnapTick uploader, right? SnapTick photo uploader. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah,
so in that respect, it worked great. I don't know how it would work, you know, like with a roaming photographer, but from a photo booth standpoint with multiple activations, it was a really good option.
Oh, that's an interesting way to use it. I haven't explored it too much. I used it for a photography studio as a sharing station. It's not Spot My Photos. It's different. I haven't used it enough to have any real feedback on it, you know, because we've been using Spot for some years.
Yeah, Spot makes sense because, you know, if someone's roaming around, they're going to capture the same people multiple times. Those people are going to be in the background. But I never really understood the aspect of, or SnapTick's role in it where, you know, someone takes a photo. Maybe if it's a wedding, they're taking several photos. But at a trade show or something, typically they're going to take one photo. So what is the benefit of them not punching their phone number in? Because when they set up their gallery, they've got to punch their phone number in. So either way, they're doing it one time, and you're not really saving any time. And even in a wedding, the gallery's generally going to be public, so they just need to enter it once as well. So the only time I really saw it making sense is in the scenario where I had where there was several activations in one spot where people are going to be using them over and over again, and you wanted to kind of keep things streamlined.
Yeah.
So I don't think a lot of people have used it.
Yeah. I agree. I've used it just a handful of times.
Anyways, I think that probably wraps things up. Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is a good first experience for you.
I'm a terrible speaker. But this was not too bad.
No, you did great.
Thanks. All
right. And so with that, I guess we'll close up. I've never really been good with goodbyes. I don't know how to close this. I think we'll just